Are you living a life that feels good? Could it be better? Welcome to the Pursuit of You podcast. I'm Jocelyn Kate. What does it mean to be in the pursuit of you? Identifying and validating your own feelings, communicating them in healthy ways, and building a network of people who will love and respect you in all the ways you deserve so you can experience ultimate happiness through emotional connection. In this episode, I wanted to talk about how to deepen your self-awareness practice. And I think that self-awareness can be a difficult topic to explore because I think that we have this kind of fundamental belief that we're already aware of everything about ourselves. We have a belief that because we are ourselves, that we already know whatever there is to be known. And the problem with this kind of thinking is that it can lead you to disengage with self-discovery. And when you disengage with self-discovery, you can be surprised by reflections that you're given or by feedback that you get from your care community or, you know, from people that you might work with, or not even from people, but situations may not pan out the way that you anticipated they would. And this may happen repeatedly due to your lack of awareness within the situation. And I think a lot of times we can run into problems over and over again because of a lack of awareness. And self-awareness is really a practice. It like all of the stages of healthy self-focus, self-awareness is really an ongoing practice fueled by self-discovery. I talk a lot about the six stages of healthy self-focus, and it was an observation that I made through my own experiences, through my own healing journey, and through my own training. I was able to identify these six stages of healthy self-focus and how we are able to continue on the path of cultivating our own highest self is by walking these six stages. And I explain them in like a circle because each step fuels the next. And with self-awareness, that is essentially the first foundational step to any kind of growth is the awareness of your needs. And being aware of your needs, it can be so difficult in this, you know, we live in a very codependent society, and we develop practices within our families and within our friend circles that really lead to sort of enmeshment within our needs and within our experiences. And this enmeshment can really lead to a misidentification of your own self and of your own wants and desires and needs. And I'm sure you've had friends, or maybe you've walked the path yourself, or family members who have believed that they wanted to pursue one life. Maybe they wanted to go to school for one particular career path. And, you know, 5 or 10 years down the line, they realized that wasn't at all what they wanted in life. And then they felt lost. And this path is often lined by the expectations and the standards and the perceptions outside of us. And we can lose our self-awareness. You can really get lost in other people's projections when you don't have a strong sense of self-awareness. And so discerning between our own needs and our own wants and desires and comfort levels and that that has been projected onto us is really an ongoing practice. And it takes attention and it really takes awareness of the cycle of awareness. And so when I talk about the six stages of healthy self-focus, self-awareness is the first one where you become aware of yourself and your individual needs. And the second stage would be self-talk, where you begin to talk to yourself about these needs and you begin to attempt to identify things with clarity. And when you begin talking with yourself, you can start to develop that trust relationship. And it's so important that when we are engaging in self-talk, that it's a dialogue and that our communication with ourselves is not one-sided, but we do allow ourselves to ask questions and answer, and we approach things with compassionate self-forgiveness and from a respectful place. And when you do that, when you dialogue through that self-talk, you begin to build self-trust, and then you trust yourself to make decisions, you trust yourself to make judgments. And through this trust building is when you can begin to exert control. So a lot of the habits we have, as I was saying, people will walk paths that they end up deciding, wasn't the right path for them at all. A lot of that is due to toxic habits and behaviors and coping mechanisms. We will suppress our own thoughts and needs and desires. And because we suppress them, we'll engage in these toxic coping mechanisms. And these toxic coping mechanisms will really box us into what we have to do. So when you don't trust yourself to make decisions and you look outside of yourself for confirmation of things, this will lead to desperate action where maybe you'll go into debt to have the right car, or maybe you'll go into debt to have the right clothes, or maybe you'll go into debt because you believe it's the right education path. And this is, these are examples of where the outside perceptions are what really was steering the ship for an individual. And when we start to build back that trust, when we start to grow that inner relationship, we can begin to examine where we are engaging in coping mechanisms and toxic patterns and exert control over those choices, and we can exert control over those decisions. And this is an uncomfortable stage because when you begin to exert control over your own participation, you will identify the places that the levers that you have, your access levers to control, but you'll also identify your powerlessness to a lot of systems that are already in place. And that can be systems within your own family, that can be systems within your employment path, systems within education, systems within, society in the world. And, we are powerless to most of the systems that we participate in. We have limited levers of control when it comes to the functioning of the entire system. But we do always have levers of control over our individual experience. And when you start to explore those levers of control and access them, this is where you can remove toxicity from your life. You can think of it as like a detox when you decide to cut out unhealthy habits from your life or unhealthy relationships from your life. You're exerting control over your choices, because a lot of times, unhealthy eating habits, for example, a lot of that comes from, a lack of desire to, prepare foods, or a lack of knowledge of how to, shop, within a budget. And this sort of in access to information creates a scenario where somebody may believe they don't have access to control. And the reality is that it takes more effort and it takes more time and it takes more energy. But when you put in the energy and when you put in the effort, you do find the levers of control. And this is why people are able to detox and recover. This is why people are able to adjust toxic habits within their life. They're able to change spending habits. They're able to change relationship patterns because they learn to exert control over their own participation. And that is what leads us to the ability to incorporate self-discipline. Once we exert control over the choices that we make that are toxic, or the participation that is toxic to us, that's when we can create space for discipline and we can start engaging in practices that are meant to help us grow and thrive. And the difference between control and discipline is self-control is what holds you back from engaging in self-sabotaging behaviors. Hey, I just wanted to stop here real quick and ask you,
Do you feel like you're always walking on eggshells in your relationship? Are you worried that if you bring up an issue, it's going to turn into an argument? If that's happening, get the boundary setting workbook. You can find it at themiddaylatte.com. It's only $9 right now. And this workbook is going to help you identify your feelings, communicate them in healthy ways, and connect with your partner so that they can consent to care. So go to themiddaylatte.com, grab the boundary setting workbook, and stop walking on eggshells around your partner. All right, let's get back to the episode. Discipline is what continues you on that thriving path. It's engaging in those practices, you know, the daily meditation or journaling or writing out your budget monthly. Those discipline practices are what allow you to continue growth and thriving. When you've engaged in consistent discipline habits, this is what leads to the ability to be open to self-discovery. And when you've engaged in discipline habits, you can think of it like a computer defrag. When you drop all of the necessary programming to the bottom, there creates so much more space in the top for growth. And this is where self-discovery comes in, where you have the emotional and the physical and the mental space and the financial space to continue on a self-discovery path. And when you're on a self-discovery path, this is where you come into more awareness. This is where you can access deeper layers of awareness in your human experience. And so really deepening your self-awareness practice, it is really about the way that you move through the stages of self-focus. And one practice that I would recommend so that you can open your self-awareness into a self-talk pattern is by practicing an awareness ritual. And an awareness ritual is something that I do within my family. And it helps, especially helps my husband and I connect in that human way where we are able to see each other not as opponents or adversaries when we are in a triggered space, but as another human who can get triggered at times. And the awareness ritual is really about identifying what you are already aware of within yourself. And so, for example, my awareness ritual would include something like, I am aware that I am codependent, and at times this can cause me to behave in unhealthy ways. And carrying this awareness about myself is what allows me to access my levers of control. It's what allows me to see where I may be able to adjust either my behavior or my perspective. Because when we run into frustrating feelings, when we start to feel like we don't have control over a situation, or like you are the victim of a situation, that's when the powerlessness takes over. And that's when we start to kind of recede, and we don't allow ourselves the ability to thrive and succeed, because we sort of, you know, cast a shadow over our own levers of control. But when you're able to accept radical responsibility for the vibes that you put out into the world, you can see where you're able to change those vibes, and you can, you know, create a different tune and a different frequency so that you can access what you want, whether it be relationships or boundaries or, you know, a different lifestyle. The way that we are able to access the things that we want is by recognizing our levers of control. So I invite you to explore an awareness ritual. And it's so important to use something that is difficult to share. It's about a vulnerability practice really within yourself. Because when we're vulnerable with ourselves, that's when we can really start to become aware of what's going on inside and what we need and how we can respond to that.
And so with your awareness ritual, it's helpful if you have a trusted friend or a family member or somebody that you're very close with, who you know loves you, that can give you honest feedback on something that you struggle to address, something that maybe you don't like to bring awareness to. So, but that's why we bring the awareness up. Sometimes it's me, sometimes it's you, and who's to say? And if I'm looking at my codependency and I'm saying, is that all in check? And, you know, we can really get to the root of why we're not able to connect or communicate. So it's great to ask somebody something, you know, somebody who you know loves you. What is something that you think I may struggle to be aware of? And if they tell you and it causes you to feel a little caught off guard, sit with that. Like, take that and consider, do you feel caught off guard because you have not fully conceptualized your awareness around this area of opportunity? And, you know, these are just areas of growth. Like, when I find out that I'm codependent, that comes from a place of love and desire to connect. And it was immaturely established ways of connecting with people. And I certainly wouldn't have chosen to develop those skills or those tools, but that's what happened. And so through awareness, through self-discovery and self-awareness, I get to see that. I get to see, you know, the way that I do things that doesn't serve me. And then I get to make the choice about how I want to change it. I get to make the choice about how I want to show up instead. And the personal awareness ritual is really the best way that I have found to keep myself involved in my own healing and to keep myself on track for acknowledging that, you know, I have areas to grow in. And it is so easy to get distracted with the areas that other people have to grow in. Of course, I could come up with a laundry list of things that everybody in society needs to do to improve themselves. But while I'm making that list, I'm certainly not working on my own. And so for me to live the life that I want and to experience the fullness and the connection and the happiness and the joy that I want to experience in life, I need to really focus in on my own levers of control. And the way that I find those levers of control is where I see my choices. I don't have choices in every which way I participate, but I do have levers. And there are areas where I am able to adjust either my perspective or my behavior. And if I am able to identify those areas, I can use them as windows and then widen them to doorways so that I can get to where I want to go. So with the awareness ritual, I have a template. If you want that template, send me a DM on Instagram. I have a personal awareness ritual template. It is actually a part of my 21-day real life reset course, but I'll send it to you for free. So send me a DM on Instagram at Jocelyn Kate, and I will send an awareness ritual template over to you. And that way you'll have, you know, an example of how you can come up with what you want to be aware of and how you can state that to yourself over and over again. And I hope that's helpful for you. I am going to go in deeper into the 6 stages of healthy self-focus in another episode. I think it's such an important topic, and I do want to continue on with that. So good luck in deepening your self-awareness practice. Send me an email or find me on Instagram. Let me know how it goes. Share your awareness ritual with me. I am always sharing my awareness rituals on Instagram. It's part of my healing. It is a big part of me continuing on my own path. So I would love to share in that with you as well. And I look forward to connecting with you in the next episode.